So you're very welcome to this week's edition of Time Out with me, Stephen Gleeson, and my guest this week is County senior camogie player Sarah Friday, who has had a great career in the blue and gold jersey and a lifetime spent playing the game of camogie or being at matches at least. And Sarah, you're very welcome to Time Out.
Great to be here. Thanks, Stephen.
Sarah, how has this lockdown period been for you, like being a part of the Tipperary camogie panel? It was tough, I suppose, not being training, but how have you found it altogether since the start of 2021?
Yeah, so I suppose we kind of thought at this stage we might be back playing a bit of league or some even back group training. So we're back and we're training by ourselves. We have allocated gym programs and running sessions that are definitely keeping us very busy. And Angela Walsh, who's new in from a strength and conditioning point of view, is going to have us fit and ready to hit the pitch when we get back on it, that it should be just a case of coming together as a group and getting the hurling back. But yeah, it's been tough. Like, I'm very fortunate now, I must say. I'm living in a house with three other girls that are on the panel, so we can do a little bit of hurling together or a few of the gym sessions together while staying within the restrictions. So that is very convenient for me, I must say, and it makes it a lot easier. But definitely looking forward to getting back into meeting the team as a whole.
And Sarah, this year is going to be different, just like last year, I suppose. Camogie-wise, you got to the All-Ireland semi-final last year, and earlier this year you won three All-Stars, your team, for their performances across last year. But it's huge now to try and push on for 2021 for Tip Camogie, and I suppose that's always in the back of your head really these days.
Yeah, and like you said, it is a massive achievement for Tipperary to be getting three All-Stars, and it's kind of a mix of the panel that have got them as well, which is really nice to see. We have Mary Ryan, who's the most experienced player on the team, and brilliant to see her get that reward for all the work that she's put in over the years. Karen Kendi, who's kind of probably wouldn't like to be called it, but is one of the older girls on the team there as well at this stage. And then, of course, you have Anya Slattery, who's in her debut season and picking up her All-Star. And that's going to prove so important, because it's going to drive on a lot of the younger girls who would see Anya as very close in their age to get to this level and to reap the rewards that she's getting. And it's feeding into a lovely atmosphere within the group, and something that we really are eager now more than ever to get back as a group and build on what we've done the last few years, which is get to that All-Ireland semi-final. Really nice to get to them, but we want to get to the business end, which is the All-Ireland final. And it's something that, as a group, we're probably, the turnover in the last 3 years isn't as high as it has been before that. And it's proven that from a management point of view and from a panel point of view, that we're all very familiar with one another. So really good vibes at the moment. And please God, get back together soon enough and build on for 2021.
Brilliant, Sarah. And I suppose in this programme, we're going to look back at your life in camogie and, you know, what has got you to where you are now. So you're from Clonolty, Rossmore, and presume you went to primary school in Clonolty, Rossmore. What was that like, and your early years just there growing up and being at the field? And of course, then you went to secondary in Turles.
Yeah, so I suppose from a very early age, growing up in Clune in Clonolty, I was surrounded by three brothers and a father who was still inside in the goals for Clonolty, Rossmore until his very late 30s. So we, the four of us, were pulled and dragged to matches every weekend and over in the hurling field three times a week while he was training. And if he wasn't training, Dad, he was training other teams. So we were always over there, hurley in hand. And once he was gone training, and once we had a slitter and a hurley in our hand, we were out of mischief and we were kept busy. And that was something that I can always remember, just whether it be fucking in and out balls to him while he was inside in the goals or not. We'd always go over, whether it be three times a week, and we'd be pucking ball and keeping out of mischief from that point of view. And then I went to Ballock Primary School, which is since closed. And there has been an amount of very talented hurlers and footballers coming out of that school, from Thomas Butler to Cott Devan to Manny Moore. And we developed a real love for the sport, from football to camogie to hurling, whatever it might be. You were playing alongside the boys as well, which I definitely think was a massive thing growing up for a lot of us who had the advantage, I suppose, of playing with the boys. It toughened us up. We were always being pushed a bit more when you were with the boys from that. So Ballock School was definitely great. I do remember we were very encouraged to play all sports, whether it be athletics, football, camogie, whatever. And so the principal, I was the only girl in the class that kind of would have been into sport. So she said, go off to the primary game there, go to the football, go to the camogie, whatever you want. And this just shows now how much I hold a grudge and I don't forget stuff. I went to the football primary game and I ended up making the team and I was delighted with myself. And the next week, the camogie came along and she said, yeah, off you go, go off for the trials there. Went for the camogie trials, ended up making the camogie. And next thing, they got wind that I was after making the two, the football and the camogie. And the camogie management said, that can't happen. You can't, we can't have a 12-year-old girl going around saying she made both teams. She'll only be, I don't know, they wouldn't let it happen anyway. So they said that I had to pick. So I picked a camogie and all of a sudden they dropped me from the camogie. So I was ended up after making no team, no primary game, no football, no camogie. And I swear to God, I still remember how disappointed I was till this day and how much of a grudge I nearly hold over it, not being able to play for the primary game, because I suppose that was our first look in at wearing the blue and gold. And it was something that I always wanted to do. And to not let it happen, it definitely drove me on for the next few years to make inter-county teams from under 14 to 16 or whatever it might have been. But that kind of stopped me with the dual career straight away. No way was that going to happen. I stuck with the camogie from then on. But yeah, it's mad. You think like however many years ago that was, you might forget it, but definitely drove me on to make inter-county teams after that.
So you went from there like that. I can imagine that that's really tough when you're on two teams and then you're on no team all of a sudden. So you went from that, Balloch. So you had that kind of mix between playing with the lads and playing with the girls as well, and that mix probably strengthened you in some way. You went to secondary school then after that.
Yeah, I suppose we went to secondary school then into presentation secondary school in Thurles, and it was just the world was at our oyster there. We had so many different sports facilities at our disposal. There was a full a sports hall inside. You had camogie teams, basketball teams, athletics, and I couldn't get over this. I loved it so much and I really relished in playing every type of sport. From going playing All-Ireland basketball finals to running in All-Ireland championships in cross-country up in Belfast. Like I remember all these so fondly, and it was from the presentation that we got to see all this and experience it all. In the back of it all definitely was the camogie, and we were very fortunate in the Prez. We went along to win, I think I have 5 months or finals with the presentation secondary school in camogie. We won the junior C and senior C in 2010. We decided to make the jump up to senior A. We didn't want to go at senior B. We jumped straight up to senior A because Cott Van was in sixth year and we couldn't win. We had to go up to A. So we won the A then, and we ended up winning two more A Munster finals. Unlucky to win an All-Ireland, but in the same year, I suppose it definitely I suppose there was a habit there of winning, and a few of us were part of the minor All-Ireland team that won in 2011, and that all came, a lot of the presentation secondary school players would have came from that. And there was just such a culture and a habit of winning back in those days, 2010, 2011, 2012. And then when it came to getting called into Tipperary senior team in 2011, to all of a sudden this kind of a drought, I suppose, for my late teens, early 20s. And it was something that I definitely was found very frustrating, from being so successful underage to all of a sudden having nothing. But a lot of that came from the fact that there was a very high turnover of players. The girls from the Tipperary senior team that had won in the noughties there, Claire Grogan, Jill Hoare, and all of these girls, they did retire, and it did leave a bit of a gap, but they were well due their retirement. They had won All-Irelands, and between Cashel and Tipperary and whatnot, and it just kind of came as a shock, I suppose. Maybe the development wasn't done underage where it should have been, and there was a gap there for a good few years. But thankfully, again, we're building, and there's a lot of underage success that we're fortunate to be part of today in Tipperary camogie.
So when you went to school then, at that stage, was camogie a huge part of your life, or was it still becoming more and more? Because I presume even, you know, it's been there all the time. When you mentioned that your dad, Andrew, played with Clonolty for many years. So I suppose from the back garden to primary school, secondary school, right up to the Tip seniors then at a young age, that all of that was built around the game.
Yeah, it was. And like, there are so many memories that I fondly look back on, from club to school to everything. And Camogie's played a massive part of that from a very young age. Like I said, from playing with the boys, I do remember all these characters that you'd meet along the way, from Richard Martin to all these that we've just made such good memories with. And I do remember one particular memory that stands out. And we were after, it was 2008, we were after winning the under 14 boys county final against Tommy Vara and Versailles. And Timmy Hammersley and Francis Maher and Father Jimmy Purcell, they were all over us at the time, and it was massive success. And a few weeks later, we went and we played a league final against Cashel in Anacharty. And it was the last game that myself and Clodagh Quirk would have been playing with the boys. So they made us joint captain on the day, and we were delighted with ourselves. And we kind of nearly fancied beating Cashel. We said, this will be lovely now, the last day with the boys, and we'll win a league final and we'll lift the cup. And but I think there was other plans in place for us. The match, under 14, mind you now, under 14 league final, broke out into a riot and was abandoned. So that put an end to that, and myself and Clodagh Quirk were standing there like, what do we even do? But Francis Maher, God rest him, since he's passed away, he was manager of the under 14 boys, but also of our Junior B Camogie team at the time, where Clonolty re-kind of formed the Camogie club back in the mid 2000s. And Francis said, Sarah, Clodagh, in the car now, we have a Junior B county final to get to. At the time, you could still play, if you were 13, you could play with the senior Camogie team or the junior Camogie team at the time. So he whizzed us off to Borlaghan to play an under 40, under or a Junior B county final against Mile Rovers. And I'll never forget it, arriving on, and the girls were up, I think, a few points. Sure, we were only 13. We came on at half time, and that was the first big win for Clonolty Rossmore Camogie Club. And it was started it all off from a Junior B to now, thankfully, being a senior, a very strong and competitive senior Camogie team, which also has a second team in Junior B as well. But like that, you might look back at that and think, oh, it's hurling mad is all she did. But it's those relationships that we built up all through the way of different players and different managements that you had. And it's something that I do fondly look back at and very thankful for. When you walk through the village in Clonolty or anywhere, you'd have a conversation with everybody, because everyone has this medium that they all come back to, which is hurling and Camogie. And we have a lot of respect for each other because of that.
Brilliant stuff, Sarah. And that brings us on to our first musical choice here on Time Out with me, Stephen Gleeson. And Sarah, you have three songs in mind for the show today. What's your first choice?
Yeah, so my first song is The Saw Doctors, To Win Just Once. And the reason I picked this song is, again, it comes back to Clonolty Rossmore. The boys, the senior hurlers, won the county final in 2018, the same year that us as senior Camogie players were in a county final as well. We played a week before the lads, and we lost to a very strong Duhara team, who went on to contest Munster titles and All-Ireland titles that year. But the week after, the boys went out and they beat Nina in the county final. And even though we were all overjoyed for them, and it kind of left a little bittersweet feeling that that they won it and we didn't, and it kind of left a feeling, a longing feeling there. And that was the song that was ringing for the weeks after that in Clonolty. It was just to win just once, and when you're part of a small parish like that, things like that don't come around too often. So to get that one win it means the world to everybody in the parish.
And here it is, To Win Just Once, The Saw Doctors, the first choice of Sarah Friday.
To win just once would be enough for those who've lost in life for love, for those who've lost their guile and nerve, their innocence and their drive and verve, for those who feel they've been mistreated, discriminated, robbed or cheated, to claim one victory inspired. To win just once is their desire. To win just once. To win just once. To win just once. That would be enough. as if to win its fire, choosing very soul for all to find, an honest heart and an open mind, to end just once, to end just once, to end just once, that would be the cynics and the pessimists, the self-indulgent, almost rich, the blatant hurlers on the ditch. Time is passing, so come on and face the ball again.
Well, you're very welcome back to Time Out here. We just heard To Win Just Once by the Saw Doctors there. And Sarah, you mentioned that your choice was that song because of that final in 2018. I remember being in the dressing room when the lads won the final, recording Thomas Butler and Timmy Hammersley outside the dressing room, and that song was blaring inside. And like, it is that iconic type of song, isn't it, that a rural parish can aspire to maybe once every few years.
Yeah, definitely. Because even before that 2018, and you'd often hear a lot of the older lads or older women in the parish talking about 97 and 89, and remember with the county final, oh God, and they'd be going on. And I suppose now we have that in 2018. Please God, we won't have to wait as long, but it is something that we definitely will be looking back on, that 2018 county final and the celebrations afterwards that we had. And it's in a rural parish, like, you know, you'll serve from Upper Church. It is, when these things come around, it's not just when you're part of a town, maybe there's a lot going on in a parish. Everybody buys into it and gets a lot from it. So yeah, a very special year that we won't forget.
So Sarah, that year, 2018, you mentioned those other winning teams. Your dad was on that team, was he, 89, Andrew Friday, and you'd also Declan Ryan, Joe Hayes. You must know those guys. They're legends of Tipperary hurling.
Yeah, they are. Declan is actually married to my auntie, so we're all kind of interconnected around and we're all on the same road. And growing up, Declan would have been a massive role model to me as well, and to everybody in Clonalty and even in Tipperary as a whole. So it was super to have those guys around. And like that, now they're heavily involved in underage teams and that. And Joe and Declan are kind of in partnership at the moment to get the Junior B Clonalty Rossmore team. And during the year, they were canvassing to try get coaches in, and they had the lads up at 7 o'clock some mornings running laps and everything, such as the standard now in Junior V. And myself and Cot Devan got roped into a few training sessions there a few times during the year. And I remember one time in particular, it was actually very funny. Joe, I was training the under 16 Camogie team, and Joe said, "Geez, I saw a few of those drills you were doing there now. I'd love if you could come down and do a few of them with the lads. But that hand passing crack, none of that. No, if you're doing any drills, no hand passing." So I says, "Fine, Joe, no hand passing, whatever." And Joe had the lads told, "Okay, training Friday, lads, there's a special guest coming. Make sure you're here on time, everything, whatever." My three brothers are actually on that Junior B team. And they come back from training that night. I knew well I was training them on Friday, and they were talking about who the special guest could be. And Joe has so much connections from Alan Quinlan to all these different lads that he'd be getting in. And I think it was Andrew Quirk actually had everybody told that Joe has Alan Quinlan coming in to coach us. So I was absolutely mortified rocking down on the Friday evening to coach the lads. But I think they were happy enough anyway. I didn't do too much running with them. And Joe was happy that there was no hand passing. But like that, the lads are great. And they do offer a great enthusiasm to the parish. And like that, getting involved with every team, no matter if it's a under 14 B team or a junior B team or the senior hurlers. Everybody's enjoying it, and that's the most important thing. And there's definitely a holistic approach there, that the senior hurlers get involved with us in the Camogie team. Our coaches for the past 5 or 6 years have been players for the senior hurling team, and Joe was kind of, I suppose, getting his back there, getting a few of the Camogie players to train the junior Vs. But it is nice to be able to mix and match there with different groups.
And he also got the legend of Tipperary hurling, T.O. English, in to train the junior Bs at a stage last year, a call down to the training session. I think T.O. was the ambassador of the team, because when I was working on the book Tipperary Game of My Life, T.O. English actually said to me, I have my good friend Joe Hayes. And then I heard afterwards that he was up at the junior B sessions as well.
Yeah, he'd be giving good talks. And like that, my brothers, if I wasn't there, my brothers would be telling me about the inspirational speeches and pieces of information that Tio would have to pass on to the lads. So they really had a great year. There was, I think, 40 junior Bs down training, and it had never happened before on a third team in Clonalty. And yeah, you're right, Joe did get in. Joe and Declan got in Tio. And they got a jacket for him and everything, a zippy that had Clonalty Rossmore Junior B ambassador on it as well. So Tio was only delighted with that. You know yourself now, any time spent with Joe or Declan is great crack. And God rest him, like I'd say, he loved every single minute of it.
Brilliant stuff. And well, I suppose enough about Junior B hurling in Clonalty anyway. We'll move on to your Tip career there. So you made the breakthrough with Tipperary. And after that, then you were establishing yourself on it, playing in UL, won a lot with UL where you went to university, and then injury struck.
Yeah. So I had, I was very fortunate to, I spent 6 years between doing an undergrad and a postgrad in the University of Limerick. And this really was a turning point, I suppose, in my sport, in Camogie and in my sporting career, because UL opened a different world to me in how equal women and men were treated in sport. But the facilities that we were provided with, the respect we were given from matches, and that all fed into a serious, serious setup. Deirdre Murphy, who's actually from Clare, was our development officer at the time, and she also played a massive role in the founding and development of the WGPA as well. And she provided us with so much top-class management, top-class facilities, and like just like that, it fed into it, and we ended up being very successful and had great players, great management. And we, in my 6 years, I won 5 out of 6 Ashburns. And like I was saying kind of previous, other than that, it would have been a fairly much of a drought of medals, because with Tip we weren't having the best of times. So it was something that I'm very I'm delighted with my time that I spent in UL, and that professionalism. There was a lot of Tipperary girls that we brought that back to Tipperary, to the camp in Tipperary, and drove on standards there, that if we were winning Ashburns with UL playing against the best of the best, why can't we do it when we come back to our county? And that definitely, like Karen Kendi, Mal Ryan, all of Ashburn medals, and so that drove them on as well. So yeah, it was super now in UL, and it definitely was a turning point in my career. And I suppose, as you said there, in the middle of all that, I did go through, I did my ACL in 2016, and it was a very tough time for me, because in 2016, I was just coming off the back of winning an Ashburn final, getting just at a good stage, and it was very mentally challenging.
The ACL is your knee, that your knee gave way during a match.
Yeah, so it's a serious knee injury that requires an operation. To basically, you have no control over turning when you tear your ACL, and if you want to go back to sport, you have to get an operation. So it was a 9-month layoff. I got the operation in Santry, had a great team around me in Paddy O'Brien from Tumi Vara, and also Paddy Carey from, he was our coach in the University of Limerick at the time. He was my strength and conditioning coach. So I had a really super team and they got me through it. It was very tough, but do you know what? It was actually nearly, there's a silver lining nearly in it, because it gave me a new perspective on the enjoyment of sport and how much it offers. But also it gave me the opportunity to take time out from sport that had consumed my life for so long. Like, sport had consumed my life for a lot of it, like, and from no negative perspective really, but this layoff of 9 months did give me the opportunity to sit back and see, was there other interests that I had in my life? And I definitely did. For a long time, I had in the back of my head about going abroad, volunteering in developing countries. And this was the opportunity, I suppose. So I started researching and I found an Irish organization called Nurture Africa. And it's an Irish organization in Uganda. And I went out there for a 3-week placement in July 2017. And I couldn't praise it enough. It just changed my life completely and my perspective and outlook on life, from the point of view that the work that they were doing and the friends that I made. Nurture Africa, I suppose, for those who don't know, it's, like I said, it's an Irish organization based in Uganda. They look at empowering vulnerable families and children in Uganda. And I suppose the key thing with them is not giving handouts and ensuring that people are self-reliant and it's sustainable. We have an education facility, health facilities, but it all comes back to sustainability. So when I was there, I was in schools teaching children English. And then in the evening, you could be in another school doing first aid chats. And then the next day, you could have been building a maternity or disability clinic in the medical center. So there's a lot of good work being done. And that kind of, I genuinely do not think I would have went if I hadn't done my knee. So I suppose I do look back on it with a bit of a silver lining. And it led to me going the following year and being student ambassador with Nurture Africa, which meant I went around to colleges in Limerick and I recruited, and a lot of my friends ended up coming with me that year. So that was great for the charity itself. And the following year, then I was actually approached by the charity to go back on a longer placement for 6 weeks as a coordinator. So I was bringing groups over with me. And that was something that has definitely benefited me from my career point of view. And just definitely from a social point of view as well, my perspective on life has changed. A lot of stuff that I might have been a bit over the OTT on in previous times or previous years, I tend to enjoy stuff a lot more now. And even though it is a very sad experience sometimes being over there, when you see the poverty, it does make you appreciate a lot more what you have at home. And even from a Camogie perspective, I go out and I enjoy it so much. I don't think of any pressure or anything like that that might have consumed me a bit when I was younger, about pressure of playing and losing sight of enjoyment, and brought back to enjoyment and meeting with friends. And the love of the game is really coming from my stints in Uganda, I guess.
So what sort of experiences did you have over there? You know, what sort of poverty levels are there? You know, what are the people like? Where were you living? Where do you fly into? And is it far from the airport to where you were going? Is it in the
jungle? So I flew in. No, it's actually not. So a lot of people, when they think of Africa, they do think of the rural huts and whatnot from that we see on movies and stuff. But I was in a town called Nansana in Uganda, and it's a massive town. It's highly populated. It's so busy. It nearly is more like slums than it is this rural vision that you would have of Africa. And the poverty, what you're looking at there is the Uganda is still in a pandemic from the HIV/AIDS. And there's a lot of people over there, and the charity in particular works with providing antiretroviral medication that's life-saving for people over there. And they would not be able to get this medication without charities like Nurture Africa, because it's too expensive. And I suppose what I'm doing over there and what the charity is educating people as to how to protect themselves. And if you are HIV positive, how is the best possible way for you to stay alive? Because you can live a totally normal life with when you're HIV positive, as long as you have a healthy diet, you take your medication and whatnot. And we educate the students of this. And another side of it in Africa, in Uganda as well, is we work with girls a lot on human rights, and we encourage them to stay in school, and we provide them with education on how you can stay in school. And since we've been in Nansenad, the rate of girls staying in school has increased massively, which is really nice to see. And it's something that I suppose they wouldn't realize the importance of if they weren't chatting with, we'll say, myself, a 26-year-old who'd be sitting with them and say that I've been educated, that I can travel, that I can do what I kind of please to a certain extent. And it's just all about, I suppose, creating this self-reliant, no handouts, and sustainability. But they're the happiest people in the world. Like, I can't get over it. Everyone always says I'd never be able to go because it'd be too sad. But they don't realise what they're missing, which I suppose is sad in a certain degree. But they're so happy over there if they have food on their table and they're safe. And they're the happiest people. You'd see their smiles from ear to ear over there, and their big white teeth. And all they want to do is sit and have a chat. And it's just a really nice atmosphere, because people are living on very, very little. But once they're living and happy, that's all they want. And it's a really special environment and program that I was so happy to be part of. And please God, it's not the last of it. I'll be back whenever we're back to some bit of normality.
Brilliant stuff, Sarah. And we've come to the part of Time Out where you're going to pick your second song choice, and I'm sure you heard loads of cool African music over there as well, but what one are you picking as your second choice on Time Out?
Yeah, I suppose my second song is, like I said, from a sporting point of view, a big turning point in my life would have been the glory days, I call them, back in UL between college life and Ashburn. We had some super days down there, and it's ones I look back on fondly. And Macklemore These Days is a song that always, whenever I hear it on the radio or whatnot, it brings me back to winning those Ashburns in UL. And it's just a song that definitely brings back good memories.
Brilliant stuff. Sarah Friday's choice here on Time Out. It is Macklemore These Days.
I know you moved on to someone new. Hope life is beautiful. You were the light for me to find my truth. I just wanna say thank you. Leaving to find my soul. Told her I had to go. And I know it ain't pretty when our hearts get broke. Too young to feel this old. Watching us both turn cold. Oh, I know it ain't pretty when two hearts get broke. Yeah, I know it ain't pretty when two hearts get broke.
I hope someday we'll sit down together and laugh with each other about these days, all our troubles. We'll lay to rest and we'll wish we could come back to these days,
to show for it now. And I know it ain't pretty when the fire burns out. Calling me when I'm drunk, remind me of what I've done. And I know it ain't pretty when you're trying to move on.
Yeah, I hope someday we'll sit down together.
Yeah. reminiscing on those past days. I thought you didn't know where my last name, but that changed. And I traveled around the world, think where you living at now. I heard you moved to Austin, got an apartment and settled down. And every once in a while, I start texting, write a paragraph, but then I delete the message. Think about you like a pastime. I could cry you a river, get you baptized. Or I wasn't ready to act right. Used to always think I'd get you back right. They say that things fall apart. We were gonna move to Brooklyn, you were gonna study art. Love is just a tool to remind us who we are, and that we are not alone when we're walking in the dark.
I hope someday we'll sit down together and laugh with each other about these days we live. All our troubles will lay to rest. We'll wish we could come back to these days, these days. We'll wish we could come back to these days, these days, these days.
And you're welcome back to Time Out. I'm Stephen Gleeson and I'm here with Sarah Friday. And Sarah, after your time in Africa, I suppose you really did get the travel bug. And, you know, after your injury as well, it probably changed how you saw your life. And, you know, it wasn't just sport anymore. There was more to it now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I suppose from a young age, as I said, sport consumed me and I relished in that. But when I ended up doing my ACL, I did kind of get a grow for this travel bug, as you said. And so I went to Uganda in 2017 and I went again in 2018. But Bill Mullaney actually said I could stay part of the panel when I went for the 3 weeks in 2018. And when I came home, I made my way back onto the starting team for the All-Ireland semi-final, but something was uneasy about the fact, just in myself. The team didn't mind, but I was after taking 3 weeks out in the middle of summer to go to the other side of the world, and I knew the girls supported me in what I did, but just personally, I felt guilty that I was after taking a girl's place, that was after training, that was after staying at home for those 3 weeks. So I decided that if I was ever going anywhere again, that I'd actually remove myself from the panel completely and not come back into a situation like that. Because like I said, even though nobody else begrudged me for what I did, I came back and I just felt that I took somebody else's, even though I worked my way back onto it. I didn't start for the All-Ireland, the last round and the All-Ireland quarterfinal. Just made it back for the All-Ireland semi.
You didn't like that perspective, that idea that maybe you walk back onto this team, that you felt you had to earn your place on that team in a different way, and that meant more to you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. I don't know. I just felt it didn't sit easy with me when I came back. I remember it was Roisin Cal from Kilrawan that lost out in an All-Ireland semi spot, and it just didn't sit right with me. So I decided the following year I was going to go do a bit of travelling when I finished my college degree. And I went and I said it to Bill. I said, I'm taking the whole year. And he said, the best of luck, enjoy yourself. He couldn't have been more supportive. Like, and he knows that that I love going traveling and whatnot. And when I'm part of the team, I'm there 100%. So I went off and when I finished college, I went to Bali traveling. I came home. I went to Uganda for 6 weeks. I came home. I went to Budapest. So I spent 9 weeks, 10 weeks of the summer traveling, and it was the best, some of the best. It was unbelievable. It really was. And it opened my eyes again to what's out there. And I don't think I'm finished yet, but I did enjoy myself a lot more because I took that break when I came home, and I went straight into club championship then, and that was enjoyable as well. But it definitely, like that, I don't think I would have, when I went back, I suppose then I was like, right, for 2020, this is it. I'm committing 100% and giving everything to 2020. So I went back into pre-season and I got myself into the best shape I'd ever been in. And I was really gunning for the year. There was no distractions. When I'm committed to something, I suppose I'm fully there. That's what my opinion was. And in the middle of all that, I actually got asked into the Tipperary senior football, ladies football team. And this was something that I had kind of dreamt about, I suppose, kind of allowed myself to think about a few times a few years ago, that I'd love to do the two, the football and the camogie. But I never thought that I was good enough, I suppose, to be honest with you, to do the two, and to be able to commit to the two was another next level thing. Like that, when I enjoy my traveling and whatnot, being able to play two sports as well. But anyway, I said the fact that I was going to be around, I'd commit to it. So I was in training with the two, this camogie team and the football, and I was going quite well, and unfortunately, before the league even started in January 2020, I did my second ACL. So that was definitely heartbreaking. The fact that I was kind of committing to play the two, and I thought I was going to, I was at home for the year, fully committing to sport, and it was after happening again, and it was definitely devastating. But I picked myself back up.
And when you did pick yourself back up, you came in and joined us doing some of the matches last year with Tip FM. You were part of the commentary team for that wonderful county final, the penalty shootout, Boris Lee against Drum that day. I think we'll never forget that one. And it was an amazing summer, and it was brilliant to have you involved. So I suppose that was something new for you as well.
This is it, and I'm very fortunate, because when I did my first knee, I went abroad to Uganda, and when I did my second knee, and that wasn't possible, Stephen Gleeson said, come in and do a few matches. So that was brilliant, I must say, from the when you're missing that, playing the game itself, having something new to distract you like that, and to really end up enjoying and being interested in, was, I didn't feel like I was missing out too much, because I had this new interest like that. So it definitely was unbelievable and a new experience for me, completely outside my comfort zone, I suppose, to start. But like that, when you have such an interest in sport from a very young age, you relish any chance to chat about it. And I suppose that's it. That's what we're doing. We're analysing games, and it was unbelievable and something I really enjoyed. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an incredible summer, really, that we were right in the heart of all these matches. But it was so strange that people couldn't be there, supporters couldn't be there. And we could have that again for 2021. We're not sure. But it, I think it just changed the way that people see games, really, in that, you know, they maybe they took it for granted. But now when you're not at matches, you look at it so different. And even this time, having no sport at all for the early part of 2021 was so different, really, and people realised the value of it in their life.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I always said when I was going off to these games, there was about 10 people asking me, could I sneak them in with me? But it was just, that was the privilege of getting into these games, and seeing them in the flesh. And the streaming service, every second person I met during the summer was just in awe of it, because you are giving people the opportunity to see these games. And they didn't have to go on the front load or the tractors to get in or anything like that. There was a service there to be provided. So they were incredible. And we were very fortunate inside in Simple Stadium to see some excellent matches, like the one you mentioned there, Burris and Drum, the penalty shootout to the county final, the best county final I've ever seen and probably will ever see. And what a dramatic finish and so on. And working with the likes of yourself, Dennis Kelly, all these individuals that you wouldn't get the chance to without this, and a feast of hurling that hopefully we will get in the next few months.
Yeah, and Sarah, after the county championship finished, you went back and togged out and played last year down in Cork in Páirc Uí Chaoimh against Galway in the All-Ireland semi-final. And again, heartbreak for the Tip Camogie team to come so close in another semi-final. That was tough to take, I suppose, last year.
Yeah, it definitely was, getting to that level. And I suppose we were going into the All-Ireland semi-final not in the best shape either. We had a good few injuries creeping up on us, and then we had Orlo Dwyer obviously not in the country, and there was just a few things that kind of went against the tide, and it probably let us down on the day that we didn't have our full bench, because we definitely do have the makings of getting to these All-Ireland finals. But it was just unlucky, I suppose, that week. If we had an extra week or two, we would have had girls back. But personally, I suppose myself, I did make it back from my second ACL, so that was massive for me. And the year ended before it even started for me, really. I was only kind of just back and really wanted to get back into the swing of it. So please, really enthusiastic now about getting back, like the rest of the panel, to getting back and getting to where we want to be, which is an All-Ireland final.
Brilliant stuff. And you're hoping that that'll, you know, happen this year, that you'll get there. You're getting a little closer all the time. Do you still harbour some hopes of going back and playing football as well with Tip? Because you play Camogie with Clonolty, but you play ladies football with Turles Sarsfields.
Yeah, so I did. I when I did stay with the panel, the ladies football panel, for the year as well. But I decided not to go back last year and just stick with the camogie in my rehab, because it would have been a bit much to expect to go back to two sports within 12 months of doing your ACL. So I made a decision this year to not go back in with the Tipperary ladies footballers, because the fact, I suppose, that it was my second ACL, and just with discussions with physios and surgeons and whatnot, they did kind of decide that I was a very high risk playing at an intercounty level, never mind playing the dual career. So I need to get myself back into being fully competitive with Camogie before I can let myself even think about playing football again. And like you said, that includes not playing with my club at Thurles Sarsfield. So please God, it's not the end of it, that the dream may continue in a few years' time if I'm not too old.
and Sarah, with playing at that level, like that, when you get an injury like that, I know you found Uganda, but it is really tough. I remember talking to Michael Cahill in Tipperary Game of My Life about his injury when he got badly injured playing with Sarsfields and had just, you know, finished with Tip, wasn't on the Tip panel at that stage. And, you know, it's a tough thing to take, and it happens to club players all across the year. And, you know, it is something that can really affect how someone sees the world, really, that they believe in sport and then part of their body has broken down.
Yeah, it is. It's very hard because I, like many, I would put a lot of work into my strength and conditioning and looking after myself, trying to do everything right. And it's funny, like I'd have this discussion a lot with my friends, and I could be trying to do everything right to put myself in the best position not to be injured. And it could be somebody that wouldn't be doing any mobility or any stretching or any activation, and they haven't had an injury in their life. So I think a lot of it has to come down to your anatomy and or bad luck or whatever it might be. And it is awful when you go through it, and when you're after putting in an awful lot of hard work to try and prevent it. But you, I suppose if you start living like that and you start thinking that life's unfair, you're never going to enjoy it anyway. And I remember even I was 6 months post-op with my second ACL, and Clonolty, Rossmore, my club, were in a county final just in 2020 gone. And 6 months after your operation, you would not be playing at that level. You'd be probably just getting back to a bit of twisting and turning. But I just decided, I was like, I'm going to put myself forward to come on even in the county final, because like I was just like, if I end up doing my knee again, what about it? If we win a county final, I really don't care. Like, and like maybe everyone else wanted that outlook on it, but like it's an injury, and there's a lot worse going on out there. Like if ACLs is the worst that ever happens to me, I have very little to be worrying about. Like, and I would have that kind of perspective on life, and kind of give yourself a week or two to whine about it, but then pick yourself up and go again, because there's a lot of stuff happening out there. A lot of young people, younger than me, that have serious illnesses and cancer and whatnot, and they can't get an operation in 9 months, be back to themselves, like, unfortunately. So you have to look at it from that point of view. It is a sports injury and it is tough, but there is a lot worse happening out there. So yeah, I think perspective is a big thing when it comes to injuries like that, and having the right people around you, which I always did. I had Paddy O'Brien, and from my two injuries, which sometimes you go up and you could be, Paddy could think that he's about to give you a rub or something, and I could just sit down for a half an hour and just talk to him, and like, just because it's very mentally draining, and you need someone that's able to understand what you're going through, I suppose. And I actually started working with the Tipperary Senior Hurlers strength and conditioning coach, Carbra, this year as well, and that was a major turning point for me, because he had me out on the hurling field hitting me shoulders, like tossing me, and that got me back into a frame of mind of being able to train with the girls, and it built my confidence. A lot of it from getting back is building up your confidence, that you're not thinking about your knee all the time or whatever it might be, because if you're consciously thinking about, I don't want to hurt my knee, then the likelihood is you probably are going to. So that was a big turning point for me as well. But yeah, definitely perspective and having good people around you.
So just finally, to finish, that positive mental attitude, do you see that as a very important thing for people, you know, for the world, really, for everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose perspective like that is a great thing, and hindsight, I suppose, sometimes can be too. But being able to get the most enjoyment out of everything that you're doing. If you're doing something, enjoy it from that point of view. And I look at sport from that side of things as well, that there was a time where I had a lot of pressure on my shoulders that I only put on by myself. And now I just look at it that everything that I do, and I want to enjoy what I'm doing, whether it be from my working life as a teacher or volunteering or playing camogie or whatever it is. And I think just from everything that I've learned in my short life, in my 26 years from being in Uganda, from going through injuries, it's definitely given me reason to look to perspective and have a positive outlook on life. Like, life is tough and it has its challenges, but you pick yourself up and you go again.
Superb, Sarah. Brilliant stuff. Well, we've come to the end of the show nearly here, and it is time for your third choice. What's it going to be, your third song choice for Time Out?
Yeah, I suppose this one is a bit of an odd one, but I suppose a select few might appreciate it. But it's kind of a throwback from the years of going to, and still going to, in carpooling to matches and training from the Cross of Clune, from Knockavilla, where Arena Friday would collect me, from the Cross of Clune down to Clare Caught the Van all the way to the Rag, and the tunes would be blaring in the car. And one that always used to get us going was Whistle by Florida. So an odd one maybe for a few, but definitely one that brings back to all the road trips and the good times of playing camogie with Tipperary.
Brilliant stuff, Sarah Friday. Listeners, hope you enjoyed the show here, Time Out with me, Stephen Gleeson, Tipperary Camogie star Sarah Friday. Thank you so much. Here it is, Whistle.
Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, here we go. Look, I'm betting you like people, and I'm betting you love freak mode. And I'm betting you like girls to give love to girls and stroke your little ego. I bet you I'm guilty, your honor. That's just how we live in my genre. When the hell done paved the road wider? There's only one blow and one rider. I'm a damn shame, order more champagne. Pull a damn hamstring, tryna put it on ya. Let your lips spin back around, come up. Slow it down, baby, take a look. Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, here we go. Ready to blow. Shawty don't even know she can get in it for the low. Told me she not a pro, it's okay, it's under control. Show me soprano, cause girl, you can handle. Baby, with stars, so then you come up in park clothes. Girl, I'm new, so my Bugatti the same nose. Show me your perfect pitch, you got it, my banjo. Talented with your lips like you blew out a candle. So I'm using, know you can make it whistle with the music. Hope you ain't got no issues, you can do it. Even if it's no fish, you never lose it. Whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Here we go. While you're working, I'ma lay back, don't stop it. Cause I love it how you drop it, drop it, drop it on me. Shout out, let the